This was written Friday, July the 16th, 1993. Prophet points to ponder. False prophets galore. From Paralon, Utah, June the 27th, 1993.
Now, a lot of you are going to remember him. Harry Bourne's his name, and he came, I don't remember how many years ago, in one of his journeys, he came through here and did speak. And he has a lot of biblical verses to give to you, a lot of things to back up what he offers. But I'm going to tell you the facts of it. The man was in a very bad accident in a plane. He spent a long time in a coma. All that while he was being given these lessons. He is not able to interpret timing. It is exactly like the rest of you. When you are given the overall picture and then the signs begin to come and the messages begin to roll, you have a responsibility to speak, to share. And the ways that you can pay attention as to possible validity of ones, and that is, what does he have to gain by sharing with you? It's a little bit like Dorma. What in the world does she have to gain by doing this? Except a big headache. Watch what people do. And obviously, they try to back it up with that will confirm the seriousness to you. And you are a society that likes to listen to the scriptures. And the ones who do not believe in any truth in those scriptures are not going to listen anyway. So the message is not necessarily for everybody. It is put out there for everybody to do with what they will. This particular message is extremely important because it comes through unexpected, unusual, with a great deal of force to tell it now. Right now. And while you see things happening about your world, you have to take the seriousness of this into consideration. And you must go back, and as far as that is concerned, I will interrupt myself for a moment in trying to talk about what we were just talking about. You see, you will get some rather bored people in the room because they've done their homework. And maybe you didn't read and study well enough, or you would have known what I just repeated to you for the 10th time. And that's fine. Except that you may get lynched because they don't get their other lesson while you catch up. So I can't urge you strongly enough to go back into those journals and dig out what we have talked about planned nuclear war one. The first major planned session was September 17, 1982. It got called off by a couple of people brave enough to step out there and say, we know your plans, we're putting it on the air on a national broadcast. That does not stop the planners. They move into alternative 1, 2, 3, 4. If you make up your mind and you know you will have a nuclear war, you will get prepared. There are ways. So this message becomes urgent as you watch everything else going on. And if you relate it to what has already been given to you, you'll see its seriousness. It doesn't mean this afternoon or tomorrow morning. It may mean 3 seconds from now. But listen to the timing that he is going to give you, because he's very close to right on. So please, share it with us.
Was Jonah a false prophet when he went to Nineveh, a long 500-mile walk from the seashore at Joppa? We read, "The word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." That was God speaking to Jonah. Recall that Jonah didn't want to go, so he got on a ship headed the other way. Hatton. Sound familiar? God caused a great storm, and the seamen blamed Jonah and threw him overboard into the sea. A great fish, whale, swallowed him, and for 3 days and 3 nights he was in the belly of the whale. Hatton. Now we know that this can't be true. But by golly, something that looked almighty like a round whale of some kind did then as usual. Jonah really prayed to God and said, "I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Hatton. Pretty good so far. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, and go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." So Jonah walked the 500 miles to Nineveh, in what is in upper Iraq today, where the Kurds live.
The city. Pay very close attention. Most of you will recognize E.J.'s Nineveh is Nineveh. It's fine. Same place by either pronunciation, but we're talking about a lot of miles to walk, and we are talking about the area that is in the most critical danger this day.
The city was on the banks of the Tigris River that flows downstream to Baghdad, where Saddam Hussein goes for a swim. Then it flows on into the Persian Gulf. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. It was a big city. And he cried and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So finally Jonah did what the word of the Lord told him to do. So what does this word of the Lord business mean? St. John 1:1-14 tells us, quote, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, Christ. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So Jesus is the Word of God. People in Nineveh heard Jonah. Some doubted, but many believed. Jonah said, "Who can tell if God will turn and repent, and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented," changed his mind, "of the evil that he said that he would do unto them, and he did it not." Later, Nineveh was destroyed, but not at the end of 40 days as Jonah prophesied. But Jonah did what the word of the Lord told him to do. But when God changed his mind, repented, it really upset Jonah because he looked like a fool. At all. Still with me, my faithful team?
Yeah.
But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. In a nutshell, Jonah did as the word of the Lord commanded him, and so was not a false prophet. The Apostle Paul understood about poor Jonah. He said, quote, "Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, now I know in part." That was from Corinthians. If you have never had a vision from God, then you do not know or understand what he means. Once I had a vision of the Russian leader Yuri Andropov dying, the Russians walking out of the arms stocks, and missiles hitting in the USA. I told newspapers, and later that fall, the Russians did walk out on the arms stocks. But no missiles hit us, and 3 months later, they said Andropov was dead. My words were published before the people to see. And when no missiles hit, people said I was a false prophet. I rehearse this story to show you that we as men don't always understand reasons why God commands for us to do things like he does. A decade ago in the spring and summer of 1983, the word of the Lord came to me and told me to go to the Mormon Church Conference on October the 2nd, 1983, and tell them that they were apostate and had turned from all the commandments of God in the scriptures, even their own scriptures in the Book of Mormon and their own doctrine and covenants. I stood on their temple square and said, "Woe, woe, yet 40 days and this city shall be destroyed." I counted 40 days until November the 11th, 1983, and expected a nuclear bomb to hit Salt Lake City and 1,000 other cities in the USA. When it did not happen, as I had seen, I was glad because millions of people did not die. Hatton. Ah, but my friends, he was right on, and you have no idea how you squeaked by the very breath of a prayer, and another who was willing to spill the beans on the nuclear war planned and ready to open fire. The really big thrust of nuclear war one was planned and messed up on September the 17th, 1982. There has been one plan following another as need to replace the tactics come about. The setting is right again now as the Red Chinese swarm into American waters and other signs of the same program being repeated in readiness.
Remember those bombs along the Mississippi River bridges? Remember those Cambodians? Been waiting there for 20 years.
The Provo Herald newspaper on November 17, 1983, page 4, said this about me, quote, "But according to Freeborn, me, when there is snow on the ground in Salt Lake City, when the Russians have walked out forever on the arms stocks, the catastrophe will occur as the nation sleeps at night." He says he has been given no special date. He claims the wheels have already been set in motion and that Andropov is already dead. I know that I had done what the word of the Lord had told me to do, so I was okay. On December 8th, 1983, 3 weeks after I had announced it, the Russians did walk out on the arms stocks, but they came back 15 months later in March of 1985, so it was not forever. Then, on February the 10th, 1984, after he had been missing for 3 months out of the media, the newspapers announced Andropov's death. You don't just have to take my word for it. Go to the encyclopedia and check out the dates yourself. From November 1983 until May of 1984, I had no idea why God repented or changed his mind. Then one morning in May, I was visited by some people from beyond the veil of death. They came from the presence of God and explained to me why the surprise attack had not come when I said. They said that they would continue to visit me from time to time whenever God had a work for me to do. Anyone who has read my revelations over the years can see that that is so. I recommend you get the packet of survival information and check it out for yourself. Now, up to date, June the 27th, 1993. This morning, the word of the Lord came to me and said that he had given his people and the heathen tithe of 10 years to repent and to prepare. He said to me, as ye have seen in this winter season, I will begin to fulfill the words of mine holy prophets throughout history. And in paren, capitals, history, H-I-S-S-T-O-R-Y, his story. I was told that when he spoke the words that my prophecies would come to pass also. He said, be careful, you have already said too many things, too plainly. I was told to tell the people to repent and change what they now believe. I was told to prepare the people for the desolation of a bomb a nation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet. He said few would understand the parable that I had published because they had no real endowment. He told me many things, and he said, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Then he left, and I knew I had read his last words before. I searched and found them in John 18:37. So, when there is snow on the ground in Salt Lake City and all the festive lights of the holiday season are bright, I guess he will bring to pass the signs I have given. I speak the words of the World War III to begin. I don't know yet the exact day he will do that, so I guess you will say I'm a false prophet. But I have lots of company. There are dozens of other nice men who pretend, make believe, play, act the part, play the role of prophets, and they are false prophets. At least I do have visions of the future and tell them. Like I said, they are nice men, like false eyelashes are nice, or false boobs are nice. They just are not real. They are only for show. We used to call them falsies. They are pretend prophets. He said to me this morning that because of the love of the world and they feared the loss of their church's membership, few would repent. He said the heart of the people is hardened because of iniquity, and they love pets more than children because of the wickedness. He said the fire was to burn the wicked off the earth. I pleaded for the sake of the innocent and the kids. He said, yes, there would be many widows and orphans, and when the forest burns, all the dead wood makes the fire hotter, and some green trees die also. So, like Jonah, when the word of the Lord came a second time, here I am again, 10 years later, crying to the people to repent, change, and prepare for that which will happen in the winter. Now it's summer, and this is the July flyer, so you can't say you were not warned. Surely God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets, like Amos 3:7 says. Like Jonah said when he was in the whale's belly, I will pay for that that I have vowed. The real problem is that when the missiles begin to come in the winter, that people are really going to pay a price. Not just what they can afford every month, but almost everything. They will lose family members, home, job, lifestyle, friends, toys, maybe their lives also, because they have not been obedient to the scriptures and commandments of God they will die short of the final goal. Our God is just and righteous God, and he will not admit people into his kingdom who have been backsliders, not willing to pay the price of a seat. Nothing's free. You're not going to sit with people who gave their reputations, their all, even their lives, many of them for the gospel. Just what have you paid? Unless you put God first, you lose everything now and for eternity. And that's a long time. Now comes the test. You don't really know me and who I am. And let me say here and now that I am not Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. But I am his servant. I have seen him and felt his touch more times than I can tell you here and now. And I will assume, because you're reading this, that you do believe the Bible and what it says in John 14:21-23, and that you're not a hypocrite. If you are a hypocrite, then throw this flyer away quick. The test. Jeremiah 17:5 tells us, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord." So you don't have to believe me from the crazy kook beating on a trash can in City Park. The only way to know if I'm telling you the truth and warning you of things to come is to ask God yourself. Expect to get an answer from him, yes or no. If your life is so messed up that you can't hear the Holy Spirit in that still small voice, then you need to repent. Get off by yourself somewhere for a few hours and talk to the man yourself. God is a man, not some blob of gunk. Jesus said he was the Son of Man. He is our Father in heaven, the Father of Jesus. Trust no man in the flesh, not even me or men who are church leaders. If you do, you break a commandment of God. If you can't hear him, you really have trouble coming. The only way the United States could be saved from a nuclear war that will kill 100 million people in the USA is to truly repent. Jeremiah 18:8 says, "If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them." But this nation will not repent in time, and you know it too. So what is a real prophet? He is one who tells the future. God wrote, "In the beginning was the Word." History is history of the world. So now we shall see what his words were to his prophets, not just a bunch of very nice men, who, by the way, are trying. They are just too proud and don't have it. About 538 years before Jesus Christ, God had a prophet the Bible calls Ezra, and the Apocryphal calls him Esdras. When the Bible was put together in 1611 by King James, priests and scholars didn't understand some books, and they called them apocryphal or hidden. Some of the Bibles had them and some did not. Now, I'm not going to show you only a few scriptures. Correction. Now, I'm going to show you only a few scriptures from 2 Esdras, Chapters 12 to 16. Remember, this is only a few because I'm short of space. He saw 2,500 years ago what I have seen in the last 18 years. We begin 2 Esdras 12:36. Quote, "Thou only has been meet to know this secret of the highest. Therefore write all these things that thou hast seen in a book, and hide them, and keep these secrets. And it came to pass after 7 days, I dreamed a dream by night." I can tell you that God has fantastic supernatural videos, 3 to 4 dimensional, where I have been right in the picture of action with all the noise, smells, feel of the heat, sounds and sensations of events happening. Sometimes I get up at 2, 3, 4 a.m., turn on a light and write the things I have seen. Quote, "And lo, there arose a wind from the sea,
that it moved all the waves thereof. And I beheld, and lo, that man waxed strong with the thousands of heaven. And when he turned his countenance to look, all the things trembled that were seen under him. And whensoever the voice went out of his mouth, all they burned that heard his voice. But only I saw what he sent out of his mouth as it had been a blast of fire, and out of his lips a flaming breath, and out of his tongue he cast out sparks and tempests. You realize that Jesus Christ is not a fire-breathing dragon like cartoons show, but he speaks the word and gives orders, and it is done as he says. And they all mix together. The 11 million degree blast of fire, nuclear fireballs, the flaming breath, 600 miles per hour of hot winds, and the great tempest for about 25 square miles of each hit, and fell out of the sky with violence upon the multitude which was prepared to fight Saddam Hussein, and burned them up, every one, surprise attack. So that upon a sudden of an innumerable multitude, millions in the United States, nothing was to be perceived but only dust and smell of smoke. When I saw this, I was afraid. From the front page of the Central Utah Journal on October the 12th, 1983, quote, "When a farmer dressed in coveralls steps forward and says he has been commanded by God to warn the people of a nuclear holocaust coming in 40 days next month, I hope you are a false prophet," I said to his face. "It would be fantastic if I were a phony," he said. "Then a lot of people wouldn't have to die." Leland Freeborn began seeing visions while in a coma for 3 weeks. Following a plane crash, he narrowly survived in 1976. He has seen ugly women cutting off the arms of children to eat. He says he has seen the heat of bombs peeling flesh from skeletons even before the bodies fall to the ground. That front page story didn't even tell all. And while like Esdras, quote, "I was afraid," afterward, after war, "saw I the same man, Jesus, come down from the mountain and call unto him another peaceable multitude. And there came much people, survivors, unto him, whereof some were glad, some were sorry. They didn't listen and prepare. Then was I sick through great fear, and I awakened and said, show me now the interpretation of this dream. For as I conceive in mine understanding, woe unto them that shall be left in those days, and much more woe unto them that are not left behind, because their life is over. Now understand I the things that are laid up in the latter days, which shall happen unto them and to those that are left behind. Yet it is easier for him, you, that is in danger, to come into knowledge of these things and prepare, than to pass away as a cloud, a mushroom cloud, out of the world, and not to see the things that happen in the last days. Know this, therefore, that they which be left alive, which are more blessed than they that be dead. I can tell you for sure that millions and millions will feel the fires of hell. Behold, the days come when the Most High will begin to deliver them that are upon the earth. I will tell you now that this war goes on for years, so repent now or die and leave the more blessed here. And he shall come to the astonishment of them that dwell on the earth. Surprise, he is here. Behold, Lord, I will go as thou hast commanded me and remove the people. I know how I feel, which are present, but they that shall be born afterward, who shall admonish them? But if I have found grace before thee, send the Holy Ghost unto me, and I shall write all that hath been done in the world since the beginning, which were written in thy law, that men may find thy path straight and narrow, and that they will live in the latter days, may live, and keep all thy commandments. for all the unfaithful shall die in their unfaithfulness. Behold, saith the Lord, I will bring plagues upon the world, the sword, famine, death, and destruction. For wickedness hath exceedingly polluted the whole earth. Behold, my people is led as a flock to the slaughter. Woe unto the world and them that dwell herein. For the sword and their destruction draweth nigh. Woe to them that sin and keep not my commandments, saith the Lord. For now we are the plagues come upon the whole earth, and ye shall remain in them, for God shall not deliver you, because you have sinned against him. Thy children shall die of hunger, and thou shalt fall through the sword. Cities shall be broken down, and all thine shall perish with the sword in the field. A fire is sent among you, and who may quench it? Plagues are sent unto you, and what is he that may drive them away? The mighty Lord sendeth the plagues, and who is he that can drive them away? A fire shall go forth from his wrath, and who is he that may quench it? Like as an arrow which is shot of a mighty archer, missiles come like arrows. Return not backwards, even so the plagues shall be sent upon the earth, and shall not return again. Woe is me, woe is me. If you don't want to hear me, okay, I understand. Most people don't want to hear from God either. That is why he doesn't talk very loud, but in the still small voice. I'm loud. Everybody can hear and see me. That is why he sends so few of us to the world. Most people really don't want to hear a prophet from God. They want to continue their own ideas and goals and not do what God or his prophet says. In the near future, I'm going to give you a great example of men versus God. You'll enjoy it. It's true. Would you rather I did not tell you of my visions and warn you how to prepare and save those you love? I could be a phony, pretend a false prophet, and say nothing. That's the end of the prophecy. There are some comments from Hatan following that. Would you like me to read those?
Well, go ahead.
What I really want you to heed is the reasoning behind this message just presented. You do not know. You see wild men go forth breaking the laws of the land and God and proclaiming to be prophets. Therein lies your guidelines. Check to see the priorities of these men who claim. When you have ones who go forth, gain nothing, live within the law of God, and continue in the face of ridicule and harassment, you had better take a second look and listen, my friends. It is not fun nor easy to do what many do every day of their lives, not even recognizing their gift of prophecy and the warnings and offerings of truth. There is no claim to fame, no honor for the service except the usual kick in the shins and spit in the face. They serve God in the best of their abilities and accept that which comes in response. God is warning you, people. You do with it exactly that which you will, but he is warning you, and you are all but finished with the warnings. So be it. Salut. Ada Padakan. May you pass through the portals into understanding. By the way, those are portals of light.
So, if you're still dragging your feet, I can only remind you, get yourself prepared. What do you have to lose? You can argue, complain, deny, whatever you want to do. Does it require so much of you to get a little drinking water, a little ability to heat, something to sleep on, and keep it ready? Is that so much? What does it cost you? A little bit of time. You don't even have to spend any money to be a little bit prepared. I like to live dangerously. I'll take my chances. Fine. Then go take your chances somewhere else on that day, because your brother may not be so eager to share when he has long been prepared. You are in a world shaking. You don't even know what to prepare for. Your own people on the radio will tell you, get prepared. And you ignore it. Or you think, well, I better do that. Well, they've been saying the big one's coming for 5 years, 10 years, 100 years. And it hasn't. And those kooks keep telling us it's going to come. How do you put Kate Hutton in the category of being an expert and I am a jerk? The difference is I might tell you the truth. She doesn't know the truth. So you're not going to get it there. But she will tell you to get prepared, even though the world does not go away after the big one. It is going to be very inconvenient, especially around some areas. So you go ahead and be as inconvenienced as you want to be. Just keep your mouth and opinions to yourself if you think it's funny about those crazy people who go get prepared. I am not talking about survivalists or supremacists. I'm talking about your own ass, my friends, and a little drinking water that won't kill you. But you do whatever you want to do about it. Our responsibility is to tell you and to remind you all you are doing in this whole experience is remembering. And therefore, if you are remembering there was such a thing, that's because there was such a thing, and it's going to be. Man shows absolutely no motivation or motion into the changing of the revelation. I wish I could see man as a mass changing. But it's like John said and wrote. What made John so bright? He had visions. Was John more special than Freeborn? No. Freeborn's here now. John was back then. And a lot of instances of revelation has revealed that which has happened many, many times between then, when John spoke it, and now. And all those seven seals and seven scrolls and seven candles and seven this and seven that. Yes, they are meaningful because they are signs. But they were more importantly signs of a time of experience that suited what was visible in the mind of the experiencing entity. And the fact that they match today tells you the timelessness of it all. This is an experience that has been projected, and you will insist upon experiencing it. My job then becomes as an intermediary to let you go ahead and experience and still get a remnant through to begin a new play of some sort. And allow the ones to graduate that have reached graduation. Because the hang up is, let's just make sure these physical bodies get somewhere. At that moment of transition, the last thing you will want hampering you are these confounded blobs. And yet some will hang on them absolutely, dragging themselves to the brink of success, but staying with their pot of gold and this lump of mass. And won't it be fun afterwards? You won't be able to walk or see or anything. But let's cling to this ridiculousness. Most of you will throw it off, and I'll have to remind you to pick it up. We are through. I wouldn't be going through this if it were that simple. Now, I believe on this tape we should make a statement about the paper. There will be a week that we will not have a paper. Would our editor like to make a statement, or would Rick or...
I'm prepared.
Well, we didn't ask you, Robert. But that's fine. We'll let DJ tell us what. I do have a word to you once. If you are going outside the area on what you will call a holiday or vacation, which is an alien term to you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Around here. Have a confidant that knows where you are at all times, so that if your journey is too lengthy or something should go awry, there is contact. On the other hand, do not send out your itinerary, please. You are at risk. I will go on vacation with you, but it isn't my idea of a fun time like it is yours. Especially some of you who think you've got a high ground. But I'll watch from a distance, from my cushioned chair.
Oh.
How about that?
Yeah, that's good.
Let you do all that suffering and call it fun. Oh, I had such a wonderful trip, I can't walk. I am so miserable, but it was so great. To each his own. It's not mine. So tell us when we won't be around.
All right. These observations have to do with the contact crew primarily. The paper that we will miss is the one to be published on August the 3rd. So the last paper that we will send out will be July the 27th. And then the next one after that will be August the 10th. Obviously, Ed and Princeton and that part of the crew will be here through